Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
In the last few hours, but I guess since we're starting the show, we're going to get it rolling. All right, this is the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a new one of those tomorrow. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan, I'm at 3 months.
So, there you go. All right, Dan. Well, you know, we ended the show by talking about your guy LeVar Ball yesterday, so I figure we'd kind of pick up with something new today. You know, the boys did make their debut last night in, Lithuania. I think they combined to score 29 points and the team won. But over here in America, you know, I was wondering if maybe we would get something like this possibly. I don't know if you noticed, Dan, but coaches who are not Luke Walton, because he can't come out and say anything, are beginning to slam the good old Mickey Mouse Network for their coverage of LeVar Ball. Because let's face it, the only reason they talk to him is because he's a loudmouth, and you know they just want to get whatever comment he's going to say. Now, you know, the first coach to come out was Dallas Mavericks coach Rick Carlisle slammed them for them covering the fact that LeVar Ball actually gets to comment on Luke Walton's coaching style, because I'm sure everybody, including you and I, would love to have a microphone and talk about a coach's style. Now, Stan Van Gundy has went a little bit further. He called it a cheap shot. And what he's talking about is possibly not meeting with the ESPN announce team and then not giving them their in-game interview. Steve Kerr also came out and wrote I don't know if it was an op-ed piece or if it was just something he posted on the team's website about this. You know, they always say that coaching is the tagline they use is a fraternity. Are we going to see more and more of these guys stand up for Walton, and are we headed for a problem here with your guy?
I definitely think you'll see a lot of those forms. You know, because they would
not. Oh, wait, hang on. You're drowning a little there. We got to get you in a better spot.
Oh. How about now?
That's a little better. Let's see if this will work for us.
You know, the West Coasters are gonna definitely be behind them because they have to deal with it more. They wouldn't want it on their team.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, there's really, you know, Walton can't come out and say this. You know, there's no way he can come out and just, you know, kind of say, look, you know, this is crap. You know, he's just got to kind of keep his mouth shut and handle it the best he could. And, you know, so far he's done a real good job. You know, I think he understand the Lakers are a bad team. So, but yeah, I guess, it's just kind of, it's just kind of interesting. I don't know if You know, I mean, do you think they'll stand together strong enough to make this a thing, or do you kind of figure it's going to fade away on them?
No, I mean, I think if they kind of go with not giving the mothership their due interviews, or, you know, what they think is expected of them, I think that'll kind of help put it into perspective.
Yeah, because, you know, because, I mean, I'm sure, you know, it's fun.
I was going to say, I think they forget, too, that ESPN is just grabbing to get any kind of rating.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, it's, with the position ESPN is in, you know, they're going to do anything they can do to get people to watch their network. I mean, you know, they grossly overpaid to cover the NBA, and it's cost, I don't know how many people their job now. They had the big layoff, and then they had another smaller layoff. But you know, it's just kind of how it works out. I'll be interesting to see if, and oddly, you know, I looked on the Mickey Mouse website, Dan, and there's no mention of this story anywhere.
Well, you have to go to Slate.
So, you know, I found that kind of humorous that they didn't bother to mention anything. You know, some of their shows mentioned it. Even one of the guys I saw today, you know, Israel Gutierrez actually sided with the coaches on this. You know, and it's humorous because, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, like, when the cameras aren't on and he's just being a person, I wouldn't be surprised at all if LeVar Ball's actually a decent guy. But, you know, you get that camera rolling and he wants all of his 15 minutes plus. You know, again, we're talking about a guy who couldn't get it as a player. So he's going to get it now, and he's going to use his sons to do it. So, you know, it's just kind of how it goes and what you got to deal with. And, you know, if people are going to watch and listen to him, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network is going to put him on because, like we said, they got to find a way to get people to watch him.
Slam online, and you know, I didn't realize that Carlisle is the president of the NBA Coaches Association, and he goes on to press that, you know, so that's where his big words are coming from. But he goes on to press that ESPN is a, you know, a television partner of the NBA, and by, you know, the latest article they published with LeVar, you know, kind of claiming that Luke Walton lost the Lakers locker room, it's violating the trust of the NBA coaches. You know, so part of that trust is for the coaches to help with access interviews and such, and, you know, therefore the ESPN should back up the coaches, not try to tear them down, I guess. But at the same token, I mean, that's why we have a freedom of press, right?
Well, you know, I guess for me, the biggest thing about that, you know, kind of humorously is we're talking about a guy who is in Lithuania right now with his two sons. How does he have any idea that Walton has lost the Lakers locker room?
Yeah, and he was challenged with that, and you know, he's saying that it's not a matter of ESPN publishing articles that the coaches like, but, you know, checking the validity of their sources.
Yeah.
And his words, not just from a blowhard loudmouth, which I do like.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the humorous quote that I really liked is Steve Kerr when he wrote out his little thing. He called LeVar Ball the Kardashian of the NBA.
Right.
So basically, he's a guy who's trying to get famous for doing nothing. Or maybe he'll put out a sex tape, which I don't want to see, Dan, okay? If there's a LeVar Ball tape out there like that, I don't want anything to do with it, buddy. That's all. You'll have to review it for the show because I'm not watching it. So, but yeah, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of humorous. And you do wonder, you know, or I guess you had to kind of wonder how long the coaches would wait until they kind of, you know, struck back. And I mean, it's humorous because, you know, to be fair, Dan, his kid stinks. Lonzo has been terrible as a rookie. You know, I mean, I still think he's shooting about 33%. And, I mean, he's been bad.
Because Walton lost the locker room.
Yeah. So, you know, that's part of the reason he lost the locker room is because he was shooting 33%. So, you know, I did see piling on, you know, guy, you know how it is. Reggie Miller, who does, you know, analysis for TNT, he was on the Dan Patrick show, and he basically said that with the move they made by dragging LiAngelo and LaMelo over to Europe, LeVar has taken, the quote Miller says, no shot of playing in the NBA. So it's going to be interesting. He also points out that, as he used the term, if he, and he's talking about LeVar here, continues to open his mouth, all three boys are going to be playing overseas because no coach, general manager, or owner is going to put up with the dad. So, you know, they bring up some interesting points. I mean, if Lonzo was really good, this wouldn't be an issue. You know, nobody would care, and it would be like, oh, yeah, you know, no problem. We could deal with this. You know, the kid's putting up numbers. You know, I know he's had he's managed to get a couple triple-doubles, but the kid ain't putting up numbers. So, you know, I mean, are we gonna see this blow up in LeVar's face? I mean, are we, you know, I don't know if it'll ever get to the point where all three of the kids are playing overseas, but, you know, are we going to see it hurt the Suns, which I guess is the most important thing?
I think so, but I mean, doesn't it not blow up in Magic's face too for falling into the hype?
Yeah, but I don't think Magic would get the brunt of it, you know, because, like Magic can't force LeVar to keep his mouth shut. You know, and that's obviously the problem here. Can't get this guy to shut up, but you know, to miss on a draft pick, I mean, how many guys have missed on draft picks? I mean, you know, remember there were two guys selected ahead of Michael Jordan, so you know, it's just kind of how it goes. So yeah, you know, I mean, there's all, you know, and then of course, you know, Magic is a little bit, you know, a little bit, you know, I don't want to say untouchable, but kind of above those, you know, those kind of things. So, you know, I guess the bigger question here, Dan, and this could be really, really make or break here. You know, all the rumors we've heard is there's let's say maybe a little better than average chance that LeBron James would be interested in going to the Lakers. What if LeBron comes out and says the main reason he didn't sign with the Lakers is because LeVar wouldn't shut up? How does something like that affect this situation? And I know that's a big kind of if, but what if something like that was actually to happen?
Here's kind of my take on it is I would expect him to try to be friends with him.
Yeah, but I think even if you're friends with LeVar, that doesn't save you from his mouth, does it?
No, it doesn't, but I think he would definitely, you know, open his mouth back up. But it's just the way LeBron's approach to everything is he always seems to take the other side. You know, now that everyone's kind of going on the side where they don't like LeVar and kind of speaking out against him, I feel like he would, you know, stay clear of that and jump on his side.
Yeah, you know, I have noticed, you know, I mean, LeBron not taking a side, you know, which is probably, you know, in his best interest. You know, this is something I think if you're a player, you don't want to be involved in. You know, let these guys kind of hash it out. But, you know, it will be, it'll be kind of interesting to see how they how or if they can shake this out.
Well, maybe he learned something about commenting on what the Knicks were doing.
Yeah. You know, I don't, you know, just be interesting. So
now, what you did say, Magic, was kind of taking heat, and with the Lonzo Ball pick, it is his first pick, and if it doesn't work out, it'll be interesting. But what did you say before Phil Jackson ruined the Knicks, that he was kind of above it all, kind of untouchable?
Yeah, but not how Magic is with the Lakers. You know, while, you know, Phil won championships, but he won them with the Bulls and the Lakers, not the Knicks. That's just where he played. You know, Magic is iconic. You know, and I mean, where a situation like this, I mean, I could see, you know, maybe it knocks him down just a little, you know, almost kind of like Michael Jordan going back to play for the Wizards kind of puts that odd little asterisk on the end of his career that nobody talks about. You know, I could see where maybe somebody, you know, kind of mentions this in passing. And that, of course, will depend on how all their other draft picks go. Because the humorous thing, while Lonzo is having his struggles and things haven't really worked out for him, the other Laker draft pick, a kid by the name of Kyle Kuzma, has been fantastic. So it, you know, I mean, you can say, okay, well, he missed early, but look what they found later in the draft. So, it kind of is worked out a little for both ways there. And I mean, I think the only way it really, I don't know, you know, it only really blows up in his face if they can't turn this around maybe in the next year or two. Then I think they start to question him more on that, but not so much on just this one pick. I think it's got to be a body of work for anybody before they start really kind of turning on Magic.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest, I feel like with the Lakers, you said turn it around in a year or two, unless they find LeBron, I think you're a good 3-4 years away from really making a run for the Warriors, the Spurs, and, you know, the Thunder and the Rockets.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, there is still talk, and it does still look like that Paul George plans to sign with the Lakers next season. After his 1 year in Oklahoma, it does look, because that was his plan all along. I mean, he came out and said last year, you know, he wouldn't sign a long-term deal with the Pacers because he wanted to play for his hometown Lakers. So, you know, they'll be able to add somebody like that, probably pretty easily. You know, James, you never know, because obviously everybody is going to be a suitor for him. So, you know, we'll see where he ends up. But, it'll be something that we can talk. You know, when we get to talk about the NBA in the offseason, that's what we'll be able to talk about.
Yeah, and I
do we talk about the NBA in the offseason? No.
Well, we actually talk about the NBA in the offseason more than we talk about the NBA in the offseason. Oddly.
So, but all right. Well, I found this nice little article, Dan, online today for the Chicago Tribune, and it directly relates to you and Stu. But since Stu's not here, I have to have you comment on it. I found the 5 questions facing the Cubs with spring training 5 weeks away. All right, the first question, Dan, starting pitching. All right, they don't go into a bunch of detail about the Cubs starters, but we know it's, you know, as of right now, it's Lester, Hendricks, Quintana, Chatwood, and I guess technically Mike Montgomery. There's been some targets out there. We talked yesterday. They made an offer to Alex Cobb. He turned it down. They had a meeting with Yu Darvish, but not much has come out of that. And, of course, you know, Jake Arrieta is still hanging around. The report here Interestingly, is that the Cubs inquired with the Padres last week about 25-year-old pitcher Wilson Lamet. So they were kind of looking to get younger there. The problem with this is Padres general manager, who's A.J. Preller, in case you don't remember from him being suspended, would like to set up a deal where the Padres end up with Javi Baez in return. Sadly, I don't think the Padres have enough on their roster to bring Javi Baez back because the Cubs don't need Will Myers. So I don't know if that's going to work out, but how big of an issue is starting rotation at this time?
It's a lack of bigger issues for people who think it's an issue, if that makes any sense. I don't think it's as big of an issue as everyone thinks it is. I do think they need to shore up that fifth spot, only because we both know that Mike Montgomery is not going to have that full-time job. I don't know if you know if it's been full out, said, but it's been implied, and we both know that's not going to happen. And I keep forgetting about Evan Longoria going to the Giants. And, the time is now. The Rays are selling. I think you can find a way to make a deal and get Chris Archer on this team. The diehards, of course, don't want to give up anybody, but you have to give up somebody. I don't know if you have to be giving up. I mean, shoot, if it were me, you would go for Kyle Schwarber for Chris Archer. I say go for it. But, in the long run, I think if they don't go after Chris Archer, which is a better deal to be made, there's 163 agents still available. And I forgot the number of pitchers that were available, but there's definitely a free agent that is not you, Jake, or Cobb that you can get on at least a minimum of a 2-year deal for saving a lot more money and still going to give you a quality system.
All right. Question 2, closer. Now, the Cubs did sign a couple guys. They went out and picked up Brandon Morrow, but he has no long-term closing experience and also a pretty ugly injury history, but that was as a starter. They also locked down Steve Cishek, who had his moments here and there, but I think he's probably had as many bad as good. So it seems kind of open-ended there. Now, the article here says they could wait till midseason and add like they did with Aroldis Chapman. Of course, they don't really have anything to trade now. Or they could go out and sign Greg Holland, who is out there. But they worry that bringing a guy like Holland in could hurt their attempt to address other needs. How comfortable are you with a Brandon Morrow first-time closer opportunity backed up by a guy who's, let's face it, has washed out with a couple teams as closer?
It's kind of a terrible situation, but I think we're going to stay as closer by committee, and we might see Carl Edwards getting a few more for him, save opportunity, maybe. And I think the route the Cubs will go is once they are, we'll finally learn that they're done with the Albert Amora experiment. He'll definitely get his playing time, but if they go for when they go for a closer, by the trade deadline, it'll be Albert Amora going, kind of like Jorge Soler went.
All right, now oddly, after going through all 5 of these, I understand that it was tough for this guy to come up with a thing. Number 3 is Mike Montgomery. He mentions that the Cub officials have actually talked to him about his preference to start, and the Cubs have added some left-handed relief help. They mentioned Dario Alvarez, Randy Rosario, who they say have cemented their status as major league level relievers, but I couldn't tell you much about either guy. And then, of course, they do have Justin Wilson hanging around still, who was really bad for them last year, but pitched pretty well for the Tigers before he came over. What do you see? Is Montgomery a starter, a reliever, or basically trade bait at this point?
I don't really know how he's trade bait. but I still think he's going to be a reliever. And I think the thing that sucks with the Justin Wilson deal is they don't want to give up their mid-field band trade. Because at the end of the day, you know, the way you look at it, all the trades they've made have worked out in their favor.
So, yeah, you know, it was odd. The difference between Wilson with the Tigers and Wilson with the Cubs was phenomenal. You know, I mean, he was actually a successful closer for the Tigers when he took over for, you know, K-Rod. And, man, he got to Chicago and couldn't get you out. So maybe they can straighten him out and he can earn some serviceable. I don't know. But, all right, well, this is an interesting one that I actually think is pretty easily fixed. Obviously, the Cubs need a backup catcher. You know, they do have Victor Caratini, but I honestly believe he's better off playing full-time in the minors than he is sitting on the bench behind Wilson Contreras, who can play, you know, 130 games as a starter. Is this a big enough issue to even mention here? Because, like, yesterday we talked about the Giants went out and got a backup catcher for $2.5 million, who's a quality guy in Nick Hundley. Can't the Cubs just turn around and do the same thing? Why is this even a concern heading into spring training?
Well, like you said, he must have had a hard time writing this article. They had to come up with five things because he can't do three.
Yeah. You know, and I know, obviously, it's something they need. You know, you look at their roster and go, oh, man, who's backing Contreras up? Because obviously it's not Kyle Schwarber. But, I mean, come on, seriously, is this – you know, that big deal. I mean, you know, you and I could grab the, you know, the free agent list right now. And, you know, Alex Avila is still out there if they wanted to, you know, if they wanted to go that route. I mean, I'm sure we could, you know, we could easily pluck, you know, any other name, you know, right off of, you know, the list. So for this to be in, you know, in any type of panic mode, I mean, I know they don't want to spend the money on like a Jonathan LeCroy because he would want to start. But, you know, there's quality backup guys there. You know, they had Rene Rivera for a little while. I believe he's still available. I doubt they would bring your guy Miggy back, but I think he's out there. Yeah, here we go. Some more veteran names. AJ Ellis, Carlos Ruiz, Giovanni Soto, Chris Stewart. You know, I mean, there's guys out there. Why would this be an issue?
Was Giovanni Soto with the White Sox last year? I think everything's converging into one on my mind.
he was there last. He was hurt a little bit, but he was there. So, but they wanted him to catch more than he would have to for the Cubs. So,
well, I mean, for a catcher, can't you just wait till February and just figure it out by then? I don't see that as really alarming.
You know, I mean, maybe you need an extra body, you know, and that's why you got to sign somebody when pitchers and catchers report. But, you know, this doesn't seem like a pressing need, but, you know, who knows? All right, here you go. Number five, Dan, Jason Hayward. The Cubs scored 822 runs last year, but can they sustain what is called another powerless season? Thanks. From Hayward.
I think they can if they're able to move Russell. As horrible as that sounds. But I think they can sustain it if Russell is able to move on and they're able to, you know, this kind of addresses that other, the closing question. I think if you're able to get another closer for Russell, and, you know, kind of some other guys in the mix with that, you'd have a full lineup of guys who can actually play as opposed to, you know, three positions with too many guys to play. You know, we go over the outfield all day long. Pretty much everyone that's on there has played the outfield. You know, Hop, Zobrist, Hayward, Amora. I know that's only four guys. But hell, if you had another catcher,
Chris Bryant,
you know, oh yeah, Chris Bryant, Wilson Contreras can go out there.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody plays the outfield. So, I don't really think it's a huge issue. You know, he just needs the new hitting coach. You know, that's why he was fired. I forgot it was because of Hayward, not because of the bad pitching. But, you know, he just needs to work on it. And they need to secure a spot for him in the lineup. And everyone needs to just realize that they're paying for defense, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, you know, and then just kind of to address the backup catcher one before I jump back on Hayward here, the Tigers, who I think we naturally assumed Avila would just turn around and go back to, actually just signed veteran Brian Pena today. So, you know, they're Avila, or Avila is how we're pronouncing it now or whatever. You know, he's going to be looking for a spot. I'm sure he would love to come back to the Cubs. So...
And if he does, I think
it'll be a
last-minute deal. I don't think there's a rush to catchers, a rush to do it, you know, to really push for. And then, you know, bouncing back to Hayward, whether you love him or hate him, you've got him. You're stuck with him. I don't really see any value in trading him. You go ahead and trade
him. Nobody's going to take that contract. Cubs would have to pay the whole thing.
You know, it would be like the Giancarlo almost. Cubs would have to pay a majority of it. Who would they get back? I don't even know. Because who would you really want to give up? And then there's the flip side to it. What if he just catches his groove? And then you're sitting there going, oh, man, we shouldn't have traded Hayward. Not only that, you move Hayward out of the outfield, you really don't have a solid outfield. You don't, you know, the experience, he has the experience. Hop doesn't have the experience. He's a good kid. He plays well. He's a second baseman. He doesn't really have the experience out there. And Zobrist, we both know, cannot play 150 games in right field. You know, and, Kyle Schwarber was still an experiment. So we have to wait and see if him losing weight and becoming leaner or whatever he did in the offseason down in Florida, you know, really pans out to make him into a quality outfielder.
Okay, so while we're counting down five things. I said, we're counting down five things. I found the next one. I found five potential landing spots for Christian Yelich. And interestingly, the fifth spot actually starts off with the Chicago Cubs. Now, I really like this idea. You know, if you could go out and give up an Alberto Almora, or, you know, maybe you'd have to kick in, a lower level minor leaguer to bring Yelich in and let him play center field every day and actually lead off. You know, even though he is a 20 to 25 home run guy, I think he could solve a lot of your problems. This was a deal I really liked, and then when I suggested it, Schomburg's too crapped all over it, because apparently we love Alberto Almora now, even though he never plays. So I don't understand the process here in Chicago, but hey, whatever kind of works out. So that's the first team. Dan, you like Yelich to the Cubs?
Is that the first team on the list?
They're the first team on the list. Well, we're going 5-1. So they're number five on the list.
All right. Kind of breaks my heart a little bit that they're number five, but I think it would be a great landing spot. Maybe they could send Zobrist.
All right. We wish. we drop into number four, and we find the Atlanta Braves. Now, the Braves have been rebuilding for a few years here. I guess they've got to be getting close to the point where they would look to start winning. Yelich is still a good age, and he's under contract for quite a while. I think till, was it 2020 or 2022? Something like that. They have the farm system, you know, where the Marlins would obviously be interested in some of their players. Good fit here. Could he be the centerpiece to a Braves return to prominence?
I think it might be a good fit in sense that I don't know who I know they lost all their top internationals. draft picks. But when it comes down to it, it's my turn. I don't know that it puts them over the edge, gives them that, you know, they'd have to do a lot more than just Christian Yelich. And I don't know what say he has in his trades. I doubt he has any say, or, you know.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that's a good one on paper where you can balance both sides of the equation pretty well. But in the end, I don't think that would, you know, for him in his best interest, even as a fan, I mean, I've kind of lost some of the love I've had for the Braves over the past few years. So I don't know. I don't really like it that much. Trust me. I was one of those kids who jumped on bandwagons, and I was big time on the Braves bandwagon. But then again, they stole one of my favorite pitchers. So, you know.
Yeah. All right. We get to number three, where we have the Toronto Blue Jays. As of right now, the Blue Jays outfield would be Kevin Pillar in center, and then a combination of Teoscar Hernandez, Steve Pierce, and Ezekiel Carrera in left and or right field. So to say an outfielder is a need is probably a definite here. Yelich to the Blue Jays?
Would you say this one would be a little bit more out of left field? I kind of like it. The Blue Jays, you know, we've been told that they have money to spend being part of the Rogers group, or owned by Rogers, or, you know, however that, I don't really know a whole lot about Canadian, I don't know if you call it technology or commerce. There we go. There's the word I'm looking for, and what they have and what they do up in Canada. But I mean, I think that would be a great landing spot. I don't know what their farm system looks like. But, you know, are they the ones who have Vlad Guerrero Jr.? I don't remember.
Yes, they do.
There we go. Maybe that might be something in the works. I think I kind of like that one a little bit more. And then, you know, kind of going back to the Braves thing, I don't really know that, you know, Jeter and company's new, so I don't know if they really care about interleague trade or interdivision trade.
Yeah.
But I think if you want to get rid of your guy and you don't want to see him, sending him to Toronto to help compete against the Yankees might give him some credibility back, possibly.
And where did you say the Yelich deal was from?
The Yelich deal, it'd be from Miami.
No, you said it was somewhere out of what?
Out of left field.
All right, we move along to number two. All right, we're up to number two. Now this, I don't know who number one is because I haven't looked yet, but this may be the best possible fit here. The San Francisco Giants are the number two choice, obviously. As of right now, their outfield is Hunter Pence, and God only knows what else they're going to run out there. So they definitely need an outfield. You know, they brought in Longoria, and, you know, they've chipped off Matt Moore. They've made a couple moves. Is there a better fit? Is this the best fit so far, Dan? I mean, he could lock down even, you know, I don't know if he could play center in their ballpark, because that could be a nightmare, but he wouldn't have any problems handling left field. This fit is almost too good, right?
That one's really good. And, you know, for him, the best fit is to kind of win going into an even year.
And, you know, the Giants have prospects to deal. So, you know, there could be a fit there. That could be, you know, that could be quite interesting there. So we'll have to see. But, all right, we go with number one. Their number one landing spot is the Milwaukee Brewers. the Brewers, another, you know, they have prospects to deal. They could probably give up either Keon Broxton or Lewis Brinson and just do a straight-up swap if the Marlins would accept that. It's an interesting fit, but I don't know if if it's the best fit out of the five teams listed here, I mean, I think it might upgrade the Brewers a little, but do you like this better than some of the other deals out there?
You've got to wonder what the basis for the order was, because I feel like they should maybe swap with the Blue Jays, you know.
Yeah. I understand, you know, you add a guy like Yelich to that Brewers team, and it, you know, it gives them experience, it lengthens their lineup a little bit, but I don't know if it's the right move for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, I think it would be great for the Brewers, and they probably have the most to kind of get out of it. And then you've got a kid who came out of playing in a dome and goes back to playing in another dome, so you know the situation kind of be similar. But you never know. I mean, I think we both feel that the Brewers are a pitcher away, but with I think Jimmy Nelson's coming back and all that good stuff, you know, maybe they could turn it around if they were able to land a kid like Yelich.
Yeah, you know, again, I don't think it's a bad landing spot at all. I think, you know, he definitely could be, interesting there, but I'm just not sure if it's, it's better. I think, I would have probably had the Giants sitting up top there instead of like the Brewers here. I just don't think I buy that one as much. So, we'll have to see. But yeah, it was interesting. It seemed to be the five deal there on how it kind of. How it kind of worked out for us. It was, top five of this or, top five of that. So there you go. I'll have to look for, more five lists. I don't know. Could there be any more? Do they have to do things in five is what I'm trying to figure out? Or is it just kind of, one of those, one of those things, like the Cubs list was a little rough getting to five. I'm not quite sure if they really needed to go five deep there. But, with the thing with like Yelich, you probably could have actually stretched it out even more. But I did want to mention, I've been kind of following along. If you spend any time on the MLB website, they have a link to what they call Cut 4. It's kind of one of the offshoot sites that MLB uses. And what I get a kick out of is they're going through and they're doing, making a Hall of Fame case for, I believe it's just about each and every guy that's been nominated. And, even kind of the what you would consider obscure, I mean, guys you wouldn't think would have any chance. And today's was Carlos Lee. If you're a Chicago area fan, Carlos Lee, I believe Ken Harrelson called him El Caballo. I believe he hung him with that nickname for a baby bull. So it's kind of interesting, the way they go out and do it. But they've done this for some other players. There's a Kerry Wood one. There's a Jason Isringhauser one. And I believe they've done quite a few now as they're building up to the Hall of Fame. But yeah, if you get a chance to jump onto their site, again, it's Cut 4, and I always end up finding it through the MLB.com site. It's just how I end up kind of floating around on things. But yeah, it's kind of interesting to see how. How they come up or the stuff they kind of find on these guys to make their Hall of Fame case. Because honestly, by the time I was done reading the Carlos Lee one, I was like, oh yeah, I would vote for him, even though I don't honestly believe that Carlos Lee is a Hall of Famer. So, one of those things.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, especially from two guys that love the game like we do, couldn't you sit there and really make a case for every single player except for maybe you know, know if, well, I was going to say, you know, you can even make a case for Ryan Theriault and Mike Fontenot.
Well, and that's what they're doing, which I find interesting about it, is they're writing a case for everybody, which I think is cool. You know, they're just going through on individual players. And I like the idea that they're doing that, and they're just not singling out the guys who are, you know, going to get in. So I enjoy the fact that they're doing that. So yeah, I got quite a kick out of it when I was kind of like, hey, you know, this is actually pretty interesting. So,
you know, and being a Cubs fan and growing up watching them, it's still hard to really put Kerry Wood into the Hall of Fame unanimously. Would you say that? I heard you bring up his name.
Yeah, they did one for him. You know, I know they did a Jason Isringhausen one. I know they've done a couple more. Yeah, you know, as nice as it would be, I mean, sadly, I think we all know he's not a Hall of Famer. So.
No, I mean, because, you know, everyone talked about the 20 strikeouts, and I was sitting at a game with my dad, and he brought that up, and I was like, when did that happen? He's like, oh, yeah. I guess it was that long ago.
So, but we actually did have a trade yesterday, Dan. I forgot to bring it up. I think it may have happened, or maybe I didn't hear about it until we got off the air yesterday. But the Blue Jays picked up infielder Yanhervis Solarte from the Padres in exchange for two prospects. They gave up an outfielder by the name of Edward Olivares and a reliever by the name of Jared Kharkov. Now, you know, earlier this winter, they went out and picked up Elsmendez Diaz, so they're kind of reshaping their infield. Do you see these couple moves, Dan, as a little more likely that we're going to see that Josh Donaldson get traded since he's in the last year of his contract there and they don't think they're going to be able to re-sign him?
I mean, aren't both those guys more second base shortstop guys? I mean, but kid from the Padres, I think he's been known to play everything on the infield. So that,
yeah,
that
Solarte,
could be a possibility.
I can tell you last year he played 79 total games because of injury. Or wait, no, that's not quite. He played 79 games at second, 28 at short, and 22 at third, along with 8 at first base. So he played all through the infield. You know, I believe the year before that, he actually spent the majority of his time. Yeah, in 2016, he played 95 games at third base. For his career, he's played third base more than any other position, 320 games. So. But, yeah, I don't know. So, do you see this as a sign of maybe Donaldson going somewhere else, even though I don't know, you know, with the Giants wrapping up a third baseman, I don't know who else is in the market, you know, for a third baseman.
I mean, they're supposed to have the money, but did the Joey Bats deal kind of put them in a position where you think they might not be able to sign him? Or he's just ready to get out because they haven't done what they were supposed to do over the last 3 years.
Yeah, you know, you got to wonder if maybe it's a little more of the second one, you know, because you start to look at it and, you know, obviously, you know, they're out from under the Batista contract. You know, they didn't bring him back.
Yeah.
You know, there's really no big time contracts on their roster. You know, they do have Tulo, but I don't know if Colorado is paying, you know, a lot of that contract or how it works out. So yeah, I'm not sure. You know, and again, you mentioned it earlier, we keep hearing about the fact that they have money, but yet they don't seem to spend it. I mean, well, Russell Martin is under a pretty big deal for the next couple of years. Russell Martin's getting $20 million in each of the next 2 years. So, but yeah, you know, Tulo's got a pretty big deal too. He gets $20 million these next two, and then $14 million in 2020. Again, I don't know if any of that is deferred to the Rockies. It doesn't say here. But yeah, those are the two big guys. Otherwise, it's Estrada and Hop get $13 million apiece, and Kendrys Morales gets $11 million this year and $12 million next year. They're the only two guys over $10 million. You know, Donaldson, he's projected to get $20.7 million in arbitration this year. So, I don't know if they're going to, you know, if that's part of the reasoning or, you know, how it's going to work out. But, yeah, I keep hearing, oh, well, they have this money, and they apparently still have this money because they don't spend it on anything.
I mean, do you think it's more of a trade deal? Because, you know, the only way it would really work is if you're able to trade him away for, you know, starting pitching that you might have a little bit of control over for a couple of years, or, you know, prospects so that you could bring in. You can, you know, move those prospects over to get another pitcher for Christian Yelich.
I'm trying to think who needs a third baseman for 1 year. I mean, who's gonna take this deal and actually give them something?
Yeah, well, you know, again, interdivision trades aren't very popular, but I don't know how you can not go to Boston and not want to re-sign there.
Yeah, you know, but they have the rookie they're pretty high on. But while you're in that division, you know, the Yankees do need a third baseman. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have anybody in there yet. And, you know, so do the Mets across town. I don't know. Does he land in a New York jersey one way or the other?
I mean, is David Wright just out of it now? Being paid for the next.
Well, you know, no, really, yeah, I don't think anybody knows what the heck you're going to get from him. So, you know, because right now I believe Asdrubal Cabrera is listed as their starting third baseman, as, you know, Wright is recovering from whatever injury he has. So, you know, just one of those things. But, yeah, I mean, that could be a nice landing spot. But, yeah, you know, kind of looking around, I don't know, you know, where else you plug them in. I mean, you know, I guess the Angels could use Angels could use a third baseman. But, you know, I know they talked about playing Zach Cozart there, you know, when they acquired him. But I don't know looking at it. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of reports that the Cardinals have been interested in a third base upgrade. You know, they were in on Longoria. Mm-hmm. So, maybe that's a landing spot. But, yeah, just kind of looking at the other teams, I don't know if there's a big spot there for them. So...
Well, you know, and it's always, can't even get my words out. It's the same situation that Baltimore is in right now also.
Yeah, but, you know, at least with Machado, he can play shortstop if you acquire him. Donaldson is a third baseman. You know, I mean, there's no flexibility there. I mean, obviously he could DH. I'm sure with a little work he could probably play first base, but you're not really acquiring him for that. We mentioned him earlier with Yelich. What about the Braves? You know, I mean, I would guess, though, if they were to bring him in, they would have to re-sign him first, wouldn't they?
And that's where the trouble comes. You know, the reason I pointed out the Orioles with Machado, and you're like, yes, it makes sense because you can, you know, heck, you can play short or third, But at the same time, you've got two teams, same division, that are, I don't want to say stuck with a guy, because, you know, these are guys you, any team would love to be stuck with. But, you know, essentially they're stuck with guys that they know they're not going to be able to resign come the 2018 offseason. So this time next year, you know, even if they get traded, I think we're still going to be sitting here going, where are they going to sign? You know, and it's confusing because, you know, Baltimore's ownership, was it the owner or the president? I can't remember who vetoes everything. Doesn't want to let Manny go. But then we haven't really heard anything from our sources or any other sources that they've been, you know, negotiating a high contract or extended contract for him.
And that is weird, isn't it? Yeah, you know, it's odd that, you know, you keep thinking again, and I'll bring it up again, the Blue Jays allegedly have all this money. Why wouldn't, you know, I mean, now, you know, he's 32, you know, and in today's game, I mean, why aren't you extending a 4-year offer with maybe an option, or maybe you got to go 5 with an option to keep him? But this guy's been great for you. You know, I know he was a little dinged up last year. You know, that happens. Guys get hurt. But, you know, I mean, he's played in, you know, 150 games plus for you. He won an MVP. You know, I just don't understand, when you look at it, why this isn't a guy you want to kind of – you want to lock down and be like, okay, hey, we're not at the top of our game, but we're working our way back. And we want you to be here when we get there. You know, I mean, unless they're just planning on the fact that Travis and Tulowitzki are going to get hurt again, and they're going to need to plug Solarte and Diaz in those spots.
Well, isn't that Tulo's motto or gimmick? Always gets hurt.
Yeah, you know, that seems to be, you know, a guy who, you know, looked like was going to be a fantastic player, but just can't, you know. Well, to be fair, he did play in 131 games in 2016. He was pretty healthy then, but yeah, just 66 last year. So, you know, it's definitely been rough for him, considering what he looked like coming out of the gate. I mean, but, you know, those, you know, again, you know, we've seen that how many times with players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the sad part of the game that talk about here, because it makes me cry, and I don't want to do that on air, because that would be embarrassing and terrible. All right, look at that. That worked out kind of nice. All right, seems to me Dan and I are leaving. You know the deal, while we're gone, get over to sportstimeradio.com, look for that new blog tomorrow morning. Click over to the Facebook page, give that a like, but don't forget the Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. As always, a big thanks for listening to us live, but don't forget, the podcast is available for you anytime you want to go over and listen to it at tunein.com.
Sports Time Radio.